Hello, welcome to the Professional Insight Podcast, episode 44, season 2, the last episode of the season.
Oh my God, and season 3 is going to be epic.
Epic. We will probably all have COVID-19 or something at that stage. I don't know.
God, hopefully we can get together.
Hopefully not.
By then.
Yeah, hopefully we can get together and all that kind of stuff.
Vegas shoot.
Thank you to our sponsors, Grand Boulevard.
I have no desire to go to the U.S.
Neither do I.
Not for a long time.
No. Sink, Lynch, thanks, boys. Brand.
I'm Brandon Curry.
I'm Jeff Collins.
Josh Bond.
Trevor Lindy.
All right. So, you know, at the last episode, episode 43, smart-ass Collins, a.k.a. Jeff the Builder, decided to the bus and back it over his advisor.
That's the skinhead comment revenge.
So, all right, Jeff, you obviously don't listen when I explain things, so let's explain it again. Let's go. All right, so you have got a statement in the mail, yes?
And that's, I think, what you can call it. It looks like a death wish or something. I don't know.
Financial statement.
In all fairness, this is actually a pretty good topical topic, because a lot of people are getting their Q1 statements due to the delay of Canada Post right now, and they're getting it, you know, and they're opening up their mail. So I've had a lot of these comments, but we've prefaced this with our weekly communications. Obviously, Jeff doesn't read those. So, and via email, so that everyone can actually get prepped for these comments. But it's only been happening for the last 11 weeks, Jeff. It's totally fine.
Why don't you give me like a video kind of? You can,
I'm not giving you a
read
video.
It. You can read it there, email. Like sipping a martini and smoking a cigar.
Pretty good marketing idea.
Yeah.
So,
be like a Wolf of Wall Street update on the market.
Yeah. So
here's 20,000 words. Read it, Jeff. Weekly. Oh yeah.
Yeah. So
140
anyway,
characters or less.
Anyway, okay. You had a couple questions. So on your statement, you're gonna get a couple. You're gonna see a couple things. You're gonna see the term net invested. Okay. Net invested is basically the principal that you gave your advisor. That's the original principle that you, all the checks that you've given and minus any withdrawals, and then that's how they figure out, you know, if you're up or if you're down or not. Okay, so that's your net invested. Then you have what we like to call your book value. Now your book value is your adjusted cost base. So basically, if you own a stock or a bond that pays dividends or interest on it, and you reinvest those dividends or interest back into the stock, i.e. you're buying more stock, or in a mutual fund situation, you are, there's distributions per unit, and you don't want to take the income, so you reinvest that money back into it, because it's an RSP, or if it's a TFSA, you don't want to withdraw that money, and you reinvest it back in, you're buying more units, therefore you're increasing your adjusted cost base over time, because if the market keeps doing this and you keep buying more units, that's what ends up happening. So your book value, unless you're reinvesting during a recession, your book value most likely over time will be higher than your net invested, okay? Then you have your market value. What's it worth today? If you were to sell it today, what's the fair market value today that the open market would get? And that's with your stocks, your bonds, your mutual funds. But what a lot of people get freaked out about is what's on the statement is typically your book value, because that's your adjusted cost base. And then they look at their market value and they're like, I've lost X. Well, you haven't actually lost X, A, until you sell. And B, you should be actually looking at your net invested, what you gave your advisor, versus not what your book value is. Your book value is basically, it's bonus money because it's been reinvested back in, but did you lose your original principal? That's what you really want to know.
Where does it say the original principal? I'm looking at it right now. I see book value, I see market value.
Yeah.
Where's the original principal?
It may not have it on statements, but I like your it's advisor.
There's a lot of tears on here, so I can't. It's smudged quite a bit. I can't read through the tears.
Brandon, you forgot to mention, though, on your Q1 statements for 2020, something else that you'll see.
Right.
There's a drop.
Yeah. So on your Q1 statements, you have to remember that's as of March 31st ended. Since that time, since the drop of the market, which was March 23rd of 2020, your markets have basically come back around 20% since that drop. So you really should be calling up your advisor and saying, well, what's the fair market value right now? Like, what am I at right now versus not March 31st? Because it's delayed, the mail's delayed, and there's been a lot of growth. Like, you, so for example, when did you open that up, Jeff?
I don't know.
Okay, like, what, last week?
Does it say it here or what?
No, when did you open the mail?
Oh, a week ago.
It stay on this statement when I actually opened this piece? Is it time stamped?
Yeah, so that's last week, which is the middle of May. And that is a statement reflecting the end of March. So you're looking at 6 weeks. And in 6 weeks, the markets have recovered significantly.
No, you told me a long time ago, don't look at the quarter. Look at by the year, basically, right? So I told my wife, leave it alone.
Yeah, so the positive news off the air, we actually went through your statement, right? Not being recorded. And what did we find out? That to date, right now, your statement is definitely not a true reflection of where you're currently at. And it's a snapshot in time. And you've significantly rebounded, and I mean significantly rebounded when you talk dollars, in the value of your investments. Now, there's still a way to go compared to book value. That is true. But I truly believe that the investments that you're in, and based on your risk profile, now everyone's risk profile and objectives are different. So if your objective is to grow, like Jeff's is, because he's still young and he's got 20 years before he's worried about retirement, and he has the ability to take on a lot more risk because A, he doesn't need the income, and B, he has a long time horizon, his investments would have reacted a lot more severely in the downturn, but in return, your investments will rebound a lot quicker versus a conservative portfolio, which is more invested in bonds and more fixed terms like banks and what have you. So that's the positive side of it.
Don't look at your statements.
I am busting balls. That's it.
I know. I'm just saying for the readers, don't look at your statements, right? Like, I mean, you're obviously in a pandemic. Things aren't doing well. Stay the course, ride it out, right? Like, I mean,
right.
Things are getting better, right? They're getting better already.
That's my speculation in the economy and the markets and everything. Like, I think the second half of the year will be pretty big. I watch stuff I can, too, to find out what's going on, because I want to know what's going on. And I'm like, I'm just riding it out right now. But the big thing is I'm getting anxious. I want to get working, and I think there'll be a lot of agents out there want to get working, which is going to help the market. It'll help them, you know, help all your investments and stuff. I'm not worried, Brendan. Don't get me wrong. I'm very capable hands and all that. I'm just busting balls about.
Oh no, I love busting.
There's a lot of tears on the paper. I'm not going to lie, but
everybody's paper, right?
Yeah, but it's
that's why it's
learn out there. You know, like, do not pull your stuff, right, Brendan? Like, don't pull it in the middle of a pandemic. Well,
I think in the very, very beginning, one of our first episodes, I think Josh said it best. He took the words right out of my mouth, which was, it's not timing the market, it's time in the market.
Yeah.
And I think right now, if you're looking at investing, and I've had a couple conversations this morning and in the last several weeks, actually, people looking to invest back into the market. And I've got a tidbit for you that's coming out in my weekly mailer that Jeff will not read, but I'll tell everybody now.
I want you to do the video tidbit. I want to read it.
So, watch it. People who dollar cost average, and we've said this before, people who average or on a consistent basis contribute into RRSP, TFSA, or on non-reg into the market have fared a lot better than people who do one-time buys. And the reason is, as an example, we'll use me. Jeff, you know, you sold my condo last year, and therefore I had a taxable capital gain. And through my accountant, Dave Tutenberg, who has been on this program, we had to come up with an amount of money that I had to put into the market. I waited until the last week of February 2020 to do that, that it just so happened to do that contribution. However, when I did do it, it had already dropped about 10%. I still had dropped an additional 15%. But if I would have dollar cost averaged that money over the course of, let's say, a year, once I sold the property, your adjusted cost base or your average cost of that
unit
or whatever that you've been buying wouldn't have been as high as when I contributed it in February, which February 23rd, February 19th, February 23rd, depending on the index, was the peak. That was the peak. And so don't I invest maybe 7 days later? So I'm pretty much investing, not at the top. It had already declined about 10%, but I'm investing as it's going down. And it fell another 25%. 20%. The index.
You can't time the market, right?
That's like mutual fund. So that just goes to show you people who invest over a long period of time and over a consistent period of time weather the storm a lot better. Your highs aren't as high, but your lows aren't as low. So here's a little tidbit of information, which is coming out this week on social media and in our weekly communication to our clients. The one you're not reading. So in 2008-2009 financial crisis, 6 weeks after the low, which was around March 19th, 2009, 6 weeks after the low, there was about $3.9 trillion sitting on the sidelines in the US, sitting in cash, waiting to be invested. Okay? Based on where the markets were at that time, that $3.9 trillion represented approximately 48% of what was already invested in the markets at that time. So it was around just shy of $8 trillion already invested. And there was a further $3.8 trillion still on the sidelines waiting to be invested, sitting in cash. Okay, fast forward 11 years later. You've got approximately $4.9 trillion, so $1 trillion more, sitting on the sidelines in cash. However, that only represents 17% of what's already invested in the market. So what does that mean in English? Well, there's two positive signs to that. One, more people feel more confident right now that have already invested 6 to 7 weeks after the low than they did in 2008-2009. Two, there's still an additional $4.9 trillion in the US. Forget about global. Just in the US, sitting in cash right now, not doing anything. So if you're invested in the market, there's still more fuel coming into the market right now.
It might be a buy time.
So by investing now, by dollar cost averaging now over time, you need to know that there's an additional, if you're investing in US indexes, there is an additional $4.9 trillion sitting in cash waiting to be invested in the markets. And it's just a matter of time over the next 4 to 6 months of when that money goes.
So those old people timing the market then?
They're not, it's hedge fund. We're talking hedge fund managers that, you know, like your Sun Life's, your CI's, your Fidelity's, those guys and gals that have trillions and billions of dollars in their funds, they've put them into cash right now. And they're waiting for those buy opportunities in particular stocks.
To balance the portfolio.
Balance the portfolio. So that's all they've done. See, what a lot of people don't realize in ETFs, ETFs, you're not allowed to hold any cash. Whereas in mutual funds and in hedge managers and all that kind of, they're allowed to hold cash. Like for example, Warren Buffett just divested out of all the airlines. It's May 21st, 2020, when I'm saying this. Warren Buffett divested out of Berkshire Hathaway all of his money in airlines, and he's sitting in cash right now. So part of that $4.9 trillion is part of Warren Buffett selling all of his airline stock, you know, and putting it into cash. He's waiting on the sidelines for that buy value opportunity to just to dive in and to buy up, because we do believe it's going to be a W recovery. So we believe we're at the top of that little spreadsheet right now. We're at the top of that little wave right now.
The mid peak, right?
Yeah.
So we're down.
And then we're going to do this. We're going to do this in about, and that's going to happen for about 1 to 2 months. And then we're going to do this again. And then that it's when it starts to do that, that's when that's when you're going to see a good portion of the $4.9 trillion to be invested.
So within the next two months, be monitoring the markets and talking to your advisor if you have cash to invest, right? Because in terms of if you're ever going to time a market, in and around these types of things happen is when you could maybe time a market and get some pull up on that market recovery.
Yeah, you're 100% right. If you're ever going to try to time a market, it's now. It's because you know it's at its low or one of the lowest lows in history, right? So even though we're sitting at, what's the S&P 500 sitting at? I think it's sitting at around just over 2,900. You have to remember its peak was just over 3,300 points.
Yeah.
At the end of February. So it's still 400 points off, or just over 10% off of its peak back in February. So just if you're investing in an index, or if you're using the index as a pulse, which is a very good pulse, the S&P 500 is the most popular index in the world.
Is it futures?
No, I'm talking right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's the most popular index in the world, and it's the most heavily followed. You need to know that you can just by investing today and just letting it, setting it and forgetting it, you've got a 10% upside. Just on, it's like walking in and talking to Jeff Collins and going, hey, what about Welland, or what about Port Colborne, or what about anywhere in Niagara? And Jeff's like, yeah, like housing prices have dropped 10% since their high in 2016, 2017. So, you know, historically, housing always rebounds. It always rebounds. So if you're willing to take the risk, buy now, you know you're going to get a 10% bump in your investment right off the hopper. And that's the whole course is buy low, sell high, right?
Let's clarify that. The housing market didn't drop 1 year over year at all from 2016.
No, I'm just using that as an analogy. I'm not saying it has. I'm saying it's like talking to Jeff.
It was in my newsletter last week that you didn't read.
I see it and I burn it. That's what I do. Because your
handwriting right now.
Because your handwriting was like a grade two. It's all scribbled.
Doctor writing. That's what it is.
He actually uses a label. But anyway, no. To use an analogy, that'd be the equivalency. It's just people get more personal when it comes about their savings versus a house, right? It makes more sense to them. But when you're looking at, hey, I got to make this RRSP investment anyway, which is what I had to do, right?
Yep.
And I had to. So, you know, it just so happened I set up the one-time investment at, you know, February 23rd, and the market's just...
Well, but if I could predict the pandemic, then we'd all be in a better situation, right? So,
yeah,
exactly. No, it's just once in a lifetime for us, maybe, hopefully, knock on wood.
That having been said, though, if you've got your notice of assessment, you know what your RSP contribution is like, you should probably be thinking about maybe taking advantage of maxing out your contribution on a go-forward basis too, right?
And if you don't need the tax write-off, based, you know, and your
TFSA
is like, you know what, you're fine, you're in a tax bracket that it just really wouldn't implement it or affect it. Yeah, tax-free savings account. Tax-free savings account can do the same thing as an RRSP. Just it doesn't give you the tax deduction.
Tax benefit, yeah.
Yeah.
So
I think it's a compliment to you that I'm not reading your newsletter, because I have the utmost confidence in what you're doing for me that I don't even need to read it. So it's one of those things. If I was reading all the time, I'd be second guessing you. So I'm like, yeah, I don't read it.
Whatever. No, I know that. We definitely bust chops on this podcast just because we know we can. So
nice to have it deflected away from me for a bit.
Yeah. I honestly can't wait till we do our podcast in your trailer and we all just
me and Curry are gonna pile each other's shit on top of each other just because we want to do it so
bad. Oh God.
It's gonna happen.
No,
help us help you stay informed.
And hug a helpful neighbor. Hug a helpful neighbor one day.
Oh boy. Okay, bye.
Out. Ciao.